Well, I told you a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, that I'm preaching on strongholds, and it would take me about 5 hours to get through it. But rather than doing it all at one time, we're taking bits and pieces. There was a young pastor one time who came to a new church. The people were really excited about him coming and preaching. And so the first Sunday he came, he preached on John 3:16. And he really did an excellent job, and people were just exclaiming how wonderful that message was. And so the second week he preached on John 3:16. Same message. And the people were, you know, they were okay with it, but it was like, you know, we've heard this before. That third week he came and he preached on John 3:16. And so people were beginning to, you know, raise their eyebrows and look at one another like, what's going on? And began to actually talk to the elders, the church. He preached on John 3:16 for 6 weeks. And the elders came to him and said, Pastor, do you have any other messages? Because you've preached on this same message 6 weeks in a row. He said, well, I'll move to another message whenever you apply this message. And I know that sometimes you're thinking, don't you know another message besides the strongholds? Here's what I you remember a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, we had an individual from Lincoln City, a pastor friend of mine named Philip Magnum, came and visited with us. And he said, as he was sitting in the congregation, here's what the word that came to his mind was intentional. Intentional. It's like you receive it and apply it to your life. Tom said this last week, and I think I've got the words right. He said, he's never been in such a healthy church with so many messed up people. You know what you said? Something like that. So, but the reason I enjoy pastoring this church is because you apply what is presented to you. I don't know that all pastors can share that and say that, but it's a delight to me, and I think it would be a delight to every pastor if the people actually put into practice the things that were spoken. And I see that in this congregation, and it delights my heart. And I appreciate you putting up with me for 29 years. And thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. So I want to remind you, a stronghold is an area in a Christian's life where the enemy has positioned himself to defend against the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do some wonderful things in our life. When we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we give our lives to Him, but not all of us is submitted to Him. Not all of us, not every part of us is surrendered to Him. And so what we must do then is throughout our lives, as those areas come to the surface, we recognize them and we begin to surrender those areas to the Holy Spirit as well. Strongholds can take on many forms, and they can have many fibrous roots in our life. Last week, we discussed Solomon, and I didn't finish that message, so before I get into today's message, I'm going to finish that, okay? So you remember Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But he said he loved, Scripture says, in 1 Kings 11:1-4, he loved each of these in verse 2. Solomon held fast to these in love. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David, his father, had been. Now, imagine with me, Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines. And imagine with me them going to church with him 1 week, and then them saying, "I went to church with you last week. Now you got to go with me this week." 700 clamoring wives. "We offered sacrifices to your God last week. You got to offer sacrifices to my God this week." 700 clamoring wives. Solomon gave in. And not only did he give in to going with them, but he gave his heart to these gods as well. In Scripture, we find out in chapter 12 of 1 Kings that not only was Solomon's heart divided, but his kingdom, because of his divided heart, his kingdom was divided too. God said, "This is the punishment because you've got a divided heart. I'm going to divide the kingdom. You're going to have two tribes that you're going to rule, and the other 10 tribes will be ruled by someone else." That's a heartbreaking situation. Here's what we find. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It cost Solomon his kingdom. And a lot of times we look at sin as just being, you know, just an activity that we'll just play around with and do for a while, but it will take a toll on you and it will destroy your life. And so what we have to do is not have a divided heart, but a single heart toward the Lord. One cause for strongholds in our life is the divided heart. Another cause for strongholds is the topic we're going to discuss today, having to do with wounds of the heart. Wounds of the heart. I'm not going to read a lot of passages today, but I do want to help you recall a story in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. And there was this man who had 12 sons. One of his sons was doted upon. One of his sons was favored. One of his sons had a coat of many colors. And the 10 of his older brothers did not like this son very well because he was favored. He was, his name was Joseph. Did you ever have any tattletales in your family? So Joseph was a tattletale. And these 10 older brothers would do something wrong, and man, Joseph was like, "Ooh, I gotta go tell daddy. I'm gonna go tell daddy." And so they'd run and go tell daddy on these 10 brothers. And of course, this did not endear them to his heart or him to their heart in any way. And then dad makes that custom coat. Has a custom coat made for Joseph. These other boys are wearing hand-me-downs. Okay? And so Joseph wear this many-colored coat. And I can see him prancing. "Look at my coat, boys. Man, I love my coat. Don't you wish you had a coat like this? Boy, this is a great coat. Man, it keeps me warm in the winter. I don't have to wear those old threadbare things the way you wear them. Look, I know you've got grays and browns, but look, I've got blues and purples and reds. This is an awesome coat." How do you think his brothers felt? It's like, Also, now Joseph, he had these dreams. And he dreamed that he was out in, that there was these sheaves of wheat and all, there was like several of them. And he's out in the middle of this field and this sheaves of wheat bows down to his sheaf of wheat. And so he's at the breakfast table and he's telling these boys, hey guys, one day you're going to bow down to me. And then later on, he has another dream that the moon and the stars and the sun bows down to him. So one morning he gets up and they're having breakfast again. Say, Zebulun, Simon, Levi, Issachar, guess what? One day you're going to bow down to me. So how would you feel if you were one of those brothers or sisters? How would you feel? So, how many of you have a pen handy? I meant to share this before I started. I wanted you to write down all of the strongholds that you heard in that story. So take just a few minutes. Write down the strongholds that you heard in that story. And then I've got another story to tell you that I want you to write those strongholds down as well. So I'm going to, in just a couple of minutes. So let me finish the story. So later on in life, Joseph was about 17 years old, and his brothers were taking care of sheep. They were taking care of sheep in Dothan. And they were supposed to be home like on Saturday, and they didn't show up. And dad's like, I don't know where my boys are. Joseph, will you go find my boys and let them know that I'm worried about them? They need to be home. And so Joseph went out. He found them in a place called Dothan. And when the boys saw Joseph, they came up with this scheme. And they said, man, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Why don't we do this? Why don't we throw him in a pit and just leave him there to die? We won't kill him. We'll just leave him there so he'll die. And so they came up with this plan. They said, well, that's a great idea. And they threw him in this pit. And then after a bit, there was this band of Ishmaelites who came on their wagon train. And these Ishmaelites came on. They said, hey, here's a better idea. We can sell him to the Ishmaelites. We'll have some money in our pockets. We can divide the money and, you know, his blood will be cleansed from our hands because we didn't do it. That would be on the Ishmaelites' hands. By the way, they were distant cousins. And so that's what they did. They sold them to the Ishmaelites. And they took his coat of many colors and they killed a lamb and they smeared the blood all over the coat. And then they took it to their dad. Now, they didn't say what they did. They said, do you suppose this is Joseph's coat? What do you think happened to him? And of course, dad's imagination is going wild. He said, he knew that was Joseph's coat. Nobody else had a coat like that. I know that's Joseph's coat. A lion or something has mauled him, has killed him, and I am deeply, deeply sorrowful. So Jacob had grief in his heart, not for just weeks, not for just months, but for the rest of his life. As a matter of fact, his children came to him and said to Jacob, I tried to comfort him. And Jacob said these words, "I refuse to be comforted. I refuse to be comforted." Now, later on, the boys began to feel guilt and shame about what they had done. Also, especially when they met Joseph in Egypt, they did get to meet him. He wasn't killed. He became the second ruler in Egypt. And so they met him in Egypt, and they didn't know it at the first. It was him. But after a period of time, they had ran into some trouble. Joseph was kind of testing them. And every time they ran into trouble, they'd say, "Oh, man, this is because what we did to Joseph. This is because what we did to Joseph. If we had not treated Joseph that way, then we wouldn't be going through this right now." And so Dad never found out until they all moved to Egypt to get away from a drought situation. And Dad saw Joseph. His heart was revived. But he still had sorrow in his heart. When he met Pharaoh, he said, "My days have been few and full of sorrow." We're going to stop there. I want you to tell me, what heart strongholds did you hear in that story? Jealousy, guilt, anger, hatred, pride, entitlement, grief, bitterness, jealousy, lack of justice, depression, lying, deceit, refusing to be comforted. I'm sorry. External pleasures, sin. I'm sorry. Shame. You got to talk a little louder. My ears are old. Shame. So we see all of these in these brothers and the dad. You see pride in Joseph. A lot of strongholds. We'll tell you another story. Again, write down what you hear. Certain man I spoke with recently had a doctor's visit. I was calling to check on him. As he has had 5 back surgeries, he's on high doses of medication. So I was just checking on him, see how he was doing. This individual used to be a hard worker, but now he's unable to do much. The doctor said that there's nothing more they can do for it. They've done everything they know to do. But it often happens this way with me. As we were talking, this is what he said. He begins sharing with me that he had a lot of regrets about his life before Christ. I guess when you're kind of laid up and not able to do a lot, you begin thinking about your past. He's a Christian now, but he began thinking about his past. He said, "I have a lot of regrets about my life before Christ." He said he had a mean streak and he loved to fight. When no one else was around, he would pick fights with his brothers. And though he had apologized and they've forgiven him, he still feels horrible about his actions. And I did not intend to say this, but it came out of my mouth. I told him that self-hatred can cause back pain. Then he said, "Are you sure you want to hear this?" I said, share. He said, growing up, he felt like his dad had favorites, and he wasn't one of them. He went on to say that he feels God has favorites, and he is not one of God's favorites either. When he said that, my heart just dropped. Saddened me. And I spoke words of truth. I spoke words of life. I spoke into his mind, but he couldn't receive truth in his heart, because he believed in his heart that he wasn't worthy. He believed in his heart that he would not measure up. So what strongholds did you hear in that story? Hardened heart, okay. Anger, hurt, pardon, doubt, unforgiveness. I'm sorry. Lack of self-worth, guilt, inability to accept God's love, self-hatred, self-condemnation, self-rejection, rejection, a lot of fear, unbelief, fear of rejection. Now again, he's a believer. I spoke with him later, and he shared with me that growing up in his teenage years, he felt like if he just could do more and better, that he would be accepted by his dad. And so he was a hard worker. He worked for his dad in teenage years and on up. And when he got married, he moved close to his dad so that he could help his dad out. But he never heard the words, "I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you. You're a blessing to me." Never heard those words. So what we need to understand is that how our earthly parents treat us, particularly our dads, and we grow up with the ideas of, if my dad doesn't love me, then how can God love me? And we oftentimes project upon God the feelings that we've received from our dad. That's what had happened to this man. Now, he is now retired. He retired from a well-paying job. He's got a good retirement, but he still felt of little worth. So, you know, it doesn't really matter how much we do or how much we accomplished. If we can't receive the love of God in our heart, we're always going to be deficient. We're always going to be crippled. We're going to be crippled mentally. We're going to be crippled spiritually. And it could cripple us not only emotionally, but physically as well. I want to read a passage of scripture to you in Proverbs chapter 14:30. It says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body." And this is the NLT. Peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Say that with me. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. The New King James Version says it this way: a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. And I'm wondering, does this young man's back problems, does that have anything to do with jealousy and envy that he has carried all these years? Makes me wonder. But I do know that there are sometimes physical things that happen to us because our spirit isn't right. Tom, would you come here and share just a minute about, I know many of you have heard his testimony, but some of you have not, and I wanted him just to share just a few minutes about his own physical problems he had.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah. I know this will be a repeat for some of you, so I'll go fast. So in 2006, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. Had a surgery, went through chemotherapy. So I was done with chemo in 07. It came back in my lung in 2013. November's my month. So pray for me in November. No, I'm clean now, but I'm going to tell you why, I think. So anyway, I went through, had some of my lung removed. That's when they pinched my vocal cord. And I don't seem like an angel anymore. They only knew how great I was. That's my friend Frank. He knows how I used to sing. Anyway, no, seriously though. So if you go back about 1998, I think it was, maybe 99. My wife at that time, not Renee, she walked out on me pregnant from another guy. And through a series of events, I'll call it, I got really angry. So angry that this may shock some of you. And I don't know if I can even say this in church, but I F-bombed God. I said, what the God, because I punched a dent in the hood of my van on the way to the dump with a bunch of the garbage that she left in my house. It was just garbage, too. And I was really irritated, right? And man, I unleashed. And from 1992 until that day, I had never said a foul word all those years, right? And that day, when that anger came up and rose up out of me, it unleashed havoc. It destroyed my life. So in the midst of that, a few months later, I tell God, you know why, Lord? Because my mom had colon cancer and died from colon cancer. I said, Lord, if I ever get cancer, you're just going to have to be there for me because I ain't ever going to get married again. I don't want to be around women at all. I'm done. I'm going to raise these two kids of mine, and then I will do and go wherever you want me to, but you and me, that's it. Ain't gonna be nobody else. And honestly, I'm not a big proponent that you loose curses and stuff. I'm not, but I did. I tell you that. And anyway, fast forward to 2006. I'm angry as a hornet. 2003, I met Renee. Actually, we got married. I met her a couple of years, maybe a year before, somewhere in there. And when the Lord flipped the switch, I was like crazy in love with her. You can ask Frank. I was crazy in love with her as much as he was with Delinda. We were stupid together. Anyway, but at the same time. But anyway, what I'm getting at is this. So from 2006, I think I've had like 10 colonoscopies. I'm going to be really personal, okay? Sorry. But I think I've had about 10 of them. I'd have to recount them. It's less than 10, like 8. More than most of you. Yeah. Yeah, you know. Every time I get one, I've got polyps, the precancerous, every time. So I come to Tillamook, and the Lord told me when I came here that this guy would help me get through my anger. And that's why I was coming here. So my last colonoscopy, well, let me go this one. So I met with Pastor Brad 3 times over the years that we've been here, 5 years. 3 times, about a year apart, discussing my anger. Anyway, I got to the point, I don't want to be angry anymore. I'm good. It left me. Do I get angry? Yes. Still get angry at the old guy driving the Winnebago over 6, doing 31. Still makes me a little bit irritated. But I don't want to be, And I said, Lord, bless this poor guy. Help him to get out of my way, will you? But so if you're that guy, just move, will you? Anyway, so 2 years ago, just about almost 2 years ago, I went for the last colonoscopy that I've had. And oddly, strangely, miraculously, I had no polyps. None. Nothing. Completely clean. Right? Now, I got to share this too. So in the midst of this, I got that colonoscopy and I'm like, wow, that is crazy. That's crazy. I'm praising the Lord. A friend of ours from Colorado called us. His wife had colon cancer. And as soon as I heard it, I said, Lord, I wasn't making a connection, okay? Lord, would you deliver her from anger and bitterness? Because the lady carries, and she's a believer, a missionary kid. She carries such bitterness and anger. And it just came out of my mouth. And I was like, wow, that's weird. So I called my friend on the phone. I said, dude, you know, this is weird, but the first thing that popped out of my mouth for your wife was, Lord, deliver her from her anger and her bitterness. And he said, man, that's crazy you say that, because we've been seeing a naturopath, right, for her colon cancer. And he told us that colon cancer, there's documented studies, surveys, whatever you call it, where anger is directly related to colorectal cancer. And so I just went, oh, that's crazy. Now, I'm not saying if you ever had colon cancer, you're angry as a hornet, but maybe you ought to look into it.
So all I'm trying to share with you is that when we receive self-rejection, self-hatred, rejection, and it's probable that all of us have, one time or another, that it's going to affect you. And I'm not saying that every disease or every problem you have is related to a spiritual root issue. I'm not saying that either. However, if there is something going on, that maybe one of the first things I would suggest you do is find out if there's something physical going on. Just go with the Lord and say, God, show me what's going on in my life that would contribute to this physical problem. So in closing today, I have two questions I need to ask you. First question is, like Solomon, do you have a divided heart? Because if you do, you're going to have strongholds in your life that you will live with the rest of your life until you completely surrender your heart to the Lord. First question, do you have a divided heart? And would you be willing to give yourself totally surrendered to Jesus Christ? Not just try it. Not just pretend, but truly give your heart to the Lord. The second question is this. Do the stories of Joseph and this man that I shared with you resonate with you? Do you identify with them? Are there wounds in your heart that you feel like if you had those wounds healed, you could live the kind of life that the Lord wants you to live? Because here's the thing, you're in bondage, and the Lord wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Jesus said, I came to set you free, and whom the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. So I'm going to invite you, if that is where your heart is, I'm going to invite you to come right now. I want to pray for you. I want to help get those things out of your heart. out of your life. And if you would just come and stand here at the front, then I will minister to you and we can do it all together. But don't just pretend, don't go away from here in bondage. You might think, well, that'll embarrass me. Well, so what? Freedom is worth a little embarrassment, right? And that's the enemy telling you that anyway. Because there's no one here that's going to judge you. They're going to be praying for you. They're going to lift you up. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to play, and I'm going to expect you to, as they come up, you come up and just stand right here in the front.